This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
A very good friend of the program, a cartographer, historian, and author, Rick Britton, joins us in studio. Let's get the audience up and fired up. There you go. How are you, Rick?
Pretty good. How'd you get all those folks in here?
Well, you know, give away a bunch of prizes and free basketball tickets.
There you go.
People show up and they like to applaud. How have you been? You're one of the hardest working people in Central Virginia. What are you working on right now?
I've been pretty busy. Well, I'm doing a set of maps for a big book. It's a history of the 7th U.S. Infantry. And I'm about halfway done. Actually, I'm kind of taking a break from that.
Now, when you
working on a book on Jefferson.
When you do a map of the 7th Infantry. Number one, who is the 7th Infantry? Is that
7th U.S. Infantry,
the famous
United States Infantry. No, you're thinking of the 7th Cavalry.
Oh, okay.
The one under Custer. Yeah, that was
what I was thinking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me, who is the 7th Infantry? And when you get hired to do this, a lot of people don't know that you are an amazing artist.
Oh,
and you
thanks.
Can draw these things. And again, give folks your website because I want them to see this work. It's incredible.
Oh, thank you, Coy. We'll go to the website. It's www.rickbritton.com. And really what I use it for is has a lot of samples of my cartography, of my maps. And what I use it for is an art portfolio, a map portfolio. So when I'm talking to an art director, typically in New York City, I can just tell them to go to that. I don't have to send them samples of my work. They can go up on the website. It makes it really simple.
And that's rickbritton.com.
That's right.
And so when somebody gives you, we need a map of the 7th Infantry.
Right.
Who's the 7th Infantry and where do you start and what does it?
Well, typically the author or the art director will send me samples. You know, we want to have all this information and here's a good base map. And usually what I'm doing is I'm compiling information onto, my version of the map that they've got. Lots of times I'm prettifying, you know, the maps that are kind of crude. But really what my niche is I'm drawing maps by hand, the way it was done 100, 150 years ago. I'm not doing these on computers. And so when people put out history books, I think always should have maps that are drawn by hand because those maps look like the maps that were drawn back in the day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So people like that feel. So it gives the history books a nicer feel. And so that's the niche that I have. I draw them by hand.
And you're
sometimes,
one of the
sometimes
only.
Sometimes letter by hand. Yeah, I'm one
and
of
you're
the
one
few,
of the only people in the country that do this kind of work.
I'm one of the few that still does it that way. That's right. And so that's my niche. But that's one of the things I've always loved
and
to
who's
do.
And who's the 7th Infantry?
I've
why
done
is...
it. Well, it's the 7th U.S. Infantry, and, you know, they were formed just before the War of 1812. And so I did a map. They were in the Battle of New Orleans with Andrew Jackson, and they were at, you know, in the Civil War, and they fought the Seminoles, and it's in the Civil War they were in a bunch of battles. So I illustrate where they were in different battles. They were at Gettysburg, they were at Fredericksburg, Chancellorsville.
Wow.
You know, and they were also in Cuba in the Spanish-American War, and they were in World War One at the Meuse-Argonne. So I'm showing them where they were in these different battles.
Yeah,
that's what I've been doing.
And now, did you start out as a kid scribbling in
Absolutely.
Class? That's were you the kid in the back of the room always drawing
I
pictures?
I was trying not to get caught.
Yeah.
I bet you were too.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to talk about the pictures I drew. They were no good, put it that way. It just amazes me though that we have, you can see a kid today who just really has a calling. There's something in his or her heart that says, I gotta draw or I gotta make music. And
right.
This is what I'm here for.
Right.
And I'll figure out how to make money later. I'll figure that out later.
Right.
But right now, I got to do this.
Yeah, and hopefully the parents will support that kid.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Instead
my
of saying, nope, you're going to med school.
My mom gave me a hard time about it.
Now, you also an incredible writer, and
thanks.
You have a new book. And let's tell folks about this gorgeous new book.
Thanks.
And the title is Albemarle and Charlottesville, An Illustrated History of the First 150 Years.
Yeah, it's a publication of the Albemarle-Charlottesville Historical Society. I'm the editor down there of the annual magazine, the Magazine of Albemarle County History. And what it is, the history of the county for probably forever will be John Hammond Moore's Albemarle, Jefferson's County.
Yeah.
That's 30 years old, but it's very big. It's, 550 pages. And I'm thinking that the niche that mine will fill is mine's only 120, 140 pages, is it's an easy way to get into the early history of the county without committing to, you know, to 550-page read. And plus, mine has a lot more illustrations, maps, photographs.
Now, are there any of your maps in here that you drew? Or these
actually, there is one map I did in there of the Battle of Rye Hill. So it's in the chapter on the Civil War.
Is that it right there?
Yeah, you turned right to it.
Oh,
there it is right there. Yeah.
Did you draw all these buildings here?
I did. Yeah, that's what the camp looked like.
Gosh. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thanks. Well, that one's pretty old.
And tell folks about that. Tell folks about that real quick, because that's a hell of a story.
Well, it was a diversionary attack. There was a raid going against Richmond to try to liberate the prisoners that were there.
The Union,
the federal prisoners
in Richmond,
being held in Richmond. There were probably as many as 30,000-40,000 of them.
Wow.
So liberating them, you'd have a ready-made army. You just have to hand them weapons, and so they needed a diversion. And so Custer was given the command of a diversionary attack. George Armstrong Custer. He came down here with 1,500, and he ran into the camp of the Stuart Horse Artillery Battalion. And so they fought a little battle here, probably only a few people wounded. Nobody was killed, and he was turned back right at Rye Hill, right where the shopping center is.
Yeah, and it was literally where the shopping center is.
Literally, yeah,
and
right there.
And the Confederate troops were actually up on the hill behind where the shopping center is,
no,
right?
No, they were actually down. They were actually down a ways, but they had to. Their camp got overrun. They had to pull their guns out at the last possible second and got them into battery on that hill.
And wasn't there something about how they were a cavalry, so they would run their horses back and forth amongst the trees to make it look like there was a lot more?
No, what they did was they were only artillerymen, and there's only about 250 of them. So they needed some support. So what they did was they formed a mock cavalry unit by taking the draft horses and putting the excess gunners, set them on these draft horses with a Confederate flag flying over the middle, and made Custer believe that they actually had they had cavalry support. And it was just these gunners. Some of them weren't even armed. And Custer fell for it. Yeah, it's
so
one
Custer's
of my
down there
stories.
On basically down in
yeah.
there about where 29 is.
Yeah, he's down there
and
with
they're looking
binoculars.
Up the hill.
Yeah, looking up the hill. Well, they've got artillery. Oh my gosh, they've got cavalry too. So I dare not attack up that hill.
So then Custer headed back up
right.
North 29, that route basically
right to Madison and Culpeper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the camp.
That's
camp
it's an amazing story. And that's
it
the
is.
Closest we came
story.
To a big battle, Civil War battle in this area.
That is the battle.
Otherwise,
in Albemarle County,
Charlottesville,
that's it.
Albemarle was really the hospital, one of the main hospitals in the
right.
South.
That's the importance.
Because the UVA was here. There were already doctors
right.
here. And you had the convenient rail routes.
Well, exactly. It was the railroads that brought the hospital here.
Yeah.
Right.
So they would
yeah.
put the injured, beginning with Bull Run, they would put the injured on these trains and
in
say,
fact,
go
day,
to Charlottesville.
In fact, the day after Bull Run, the first number came.
Yeah.
Something like 1,500 arrived in a driving rainstorm. That story's in there, too.
And you have these trains pulling up at the foot of UVA, where the corner is now. And, you know, students and faculty and doctors running down to these trains and pulling these injured boys off
yeah.
of these trains and hauling them up, literally hauling them up the hill to the rotunda.
That's right.
And laying them on the floor,
and
floor
the empty
of straw.
Student, and the empty student rooms.
Yeah, which
right.
there
right.
were many.
And then eventually the general hospital spread all over Charlottesville.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
one of the mistakes that people make, and I'm pretty sure I talk about this in the book, is that people think a hospital is one building. In those days, hospital was just a general term.
Anybody who had room.
Yeah, the hospital was private homes and public buildings all across Charlottesville, so, you know, as many as 20, 30, 40 different structures.
It was most of the UVA buildings, churches,
right.
homes, businesses.
Right, Midway, the empty hotels, everything, every place they had a space.
Now, Rick, you and I have discussed off air the idea of you joining us perhaps weekly to do a little local history chat, maybe every Friday.
That'd be fantastic.
So why don't we plan on that? Maybe starting next week or the week after, we'll get together every Friday and talk a little local history.
Fantastic.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Rick Britton, author, Albemarle and Charlottesville.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you again. Absolutely.
Yeah, you've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.